Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
The US President Joe Biden has hinted he may lift restrictions on Ukraine using US long-range missiles against Russia. And if granted, that would fulfill repeated requests by Ukraine to loosen the limits on US-supplied weapons. This comes as the US Secretary of State Anthony Blinken and his UK counterpart, Foreign Secretary David Lammy, prepare to meet Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky in Kyiv. And for more on this, we're joined now by Shashank Joshi, who's defence editor at The Economist. Shashank, thank you for taking our call this morning. Why do you think that the Americans have indicated now this potential change of position on Ukraine using the long-range missiles against Russia?
Well, there's two possibilities. One is that Ukraine has been lobbying over this issue for many, many months, and indeed so have some European allies, because countries like the United Kingdom, which have supplied Storm Shadow cruise missiles, may also depend on American data to assist in the targeting of those missiles. So it's not just a Ukrainian demand, it's a European demand. But I think alongside that, it's important to note that the news of Iran's formal supply of many short-range ballistic missiles to Russia probably has also reshaped this debate. And if America was holding back this permission as a form of leverage to say to Iran, don't do this, if the Iranians have done it, that may then tip the US hand on, in fact, changing course.
Mm-hmm. But what will be the outcome if this happens? Because Vladimir Putin has already warned that this could lead to very serious problems. I mean, I'm sure the US are making calculations about the potential retaliations.
Well, to put it slightly cynically, the answer is going to be, well, what's he going to do, invade Ukraine? But of course, more seriously, I think there will be concerns over possible Russian retaliation. That could be in some theatres. For example, there's been talk that Russia was contemplating providing some sort of missile capability to the Houthi rebel group in Yemen that's been attacking shipping in the Red Sea. And that would be a very important escalation if that occurred. The Russians seem to have backed down from that over concerns over alienating Saudi Arabia, but that's still an option they have. But by and large, I will say Russia has warned of serious consequences, retaliation, every single time Western countries have considered changing policy on any of these things, whether that's providing tanks, providing aircraft, providing missiles, changing the rules around missiles. So I think governments will also be sober and open and clear-eyed about not taking these Russian threats overly literally. It's also clear we are already seeing pretty intensifying Russian sabotage across Europe. So in some ways, the Russians have pulled many of the levers they could have pulled.
Now, looking at what's happening overall in this war, as we enter winter, we've seen attacks on the Ukrainian electricity grid network. That has happened before, since 2022. Is the aim here to sap morale? Is it working?
It's of course sapping Ukrainian morale, but it's still September, and the weather in Ukraine isn't particularly terrible at this moment. Looking it up, it's in the high 20s in Kyiv just now. And the real problem will be as we approach the autumn and the winter months, where, as last year, the destruction of the power grid, substations, transformers, is going to cause real hardship for people who need heating, hot water, and that's going to affect the families of soldiers, that will affect morale on the front line, and it will also cause further depopulation of towns in the east under direct bombardment, including Kharkiv, which will send refugees further west and possibly refugees into Europe as well as a second-order effect. So, yes, Ukraine's got through all of that before, albeit, with a lot of help from the West. The question really now is a kind of balancing act between the new firepower available to Russia, both through these Iranian missiles and through its increased production of its own, and on the other side of the ledger, the West's ability to keep Ukraine supplied with air defense interceptor missiles, including air-to-air missiles fired from F-16 planes, American-made F-16 planes that can shoot down some of these incoming drones. So that air defense battle over Ukraine is going to be critical, really, in determining just how bad it gets.
And how do you assess this hint or suggestion from Anthony Blinken that the US position could change, given the context of the presidential election? How does it fit with that narrative?
I don't think it fundamentally is affected by the elections. Of course, if you know Donald Trump looks like he's on course for victory in November, then there'll be a lot of anxiety over what that means for long-term American support for Ukraine. The Biden administration may then look to unlock more capabilities for Ukraine prior to Trump's would-be inauguration in January as a result. But as of now, the election is looking much more balanced. Harris is, has had a poll lead, which is pretty narrow, but nonetheless, it looks like an even contest. And so I think by and large, the more important timeline is going to be events on the ground, the offensive in Kursk for Ukraine, the Russian advances in Pokrovsk in the east of Ukraine. And those are really going to be the key things that drive the timeline on these, decisions.
What do you foresee happening in both of those cases?
I think Ukraine is attempting to hold on to Kursk and consolidating its position. It's taking heavy losses in recent days, but I think it'll hold on to some of Kursk, no doubt. On the other hand, Russia is advancing pretty well in Pokrovsk, and I don't foresee a Ukrainian collapse, but I certainly think there's a good chance the town does fall by the end of the year, and that is going to make other Ukrainian towns in Donbass, this vital Donbass region in eastern Ukraine, much more vulnerable. And so unless Ukraine can sort out these big problems of manpower, training, I think it's really going to be on the back foot inside Ukraine for some time to come.
Shashank, thank you very much. That's Shashank Joshi from The Economist.